He is a longtime MLB closer, 2007 World Series champ down in Boston. We know him up here in Toronto. He was up here a lot. And the Jays, when they were down at Fenway, they saw him a lot. Now he's working with Better Than Vegas, and he joins us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is Jonathan Papelbon. What's up, Jonathan?
What's up, fellas?
How we doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. They said that, Better in Vegas put me on. They said, you want to go on a radio show with three of the ugliest dudes ever? I said, hell yeah.
All right, well, listen, man, they put the three of us on TV. What do you make of that? If we're the three ugliest guys of all time or one of them, how do you explain us being on TV?
Dude, I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's probably tough.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I'm not sure our bosses can really even explain that, if we're being honest. But it's great to have you on, man. We knew you well when you came up here a lot with the Sox and Philly. I mean, you picked two tough markets to play in. Like, those are two great baseball towns, two great sports towns, but tough towns. Did it make you tougher being a Red Sox, being a Philly, having to go through the grind of the media and the fans and the way they can react to wins and losses?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, man, because, for me, there was no market big enough for me, really. I didn't think anybody was ever going to expect more from me than I did myself. And, I loved it. Being a closer, man, you're coming out and, the atmosphere is what I fed off of, man. And so I enjoyed every last minute of it. When I went to Philadelphia, I was like, bring it on. Too bad we ended up sucking. But, I believe if you would have put me somewhere else in a small market team, I don't think I would have been as successful. So, that's just the way I rolled, and I fed off of it, man. I loved it. So, yeah, I mean, I love the big market.
Jonathan, we're seeing a situation here with the Blue Jays where they had high expectations coming into the season. A lot was expected to them from them, and they haven't really delivered. Can you recall any moments in your career where you might have been in a situation like that, where the team, there was, high hopes, and the team just couldn't get it going? What was that experience like, and what was it like in the clubhouse?
Oh, man, yeah. Look, when I went to Philadelphia, I thought I was going to win at least two more championships. Honestly, I did. And I mean, we had Roy Halladay. Blue Jay himself. Roy Halladay, Cole Hamels, Cliff Lee, Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, myself, Ryan Howard. I mean, bro, not think that we were going to win a bunch more too?
Oh yeah,
right. I just named off. I didn't make the Hall of Fame pass the Hall of Fame ballot this year, but I was on it at least. I mean, you're talking about a bunch of possible future Hall of Famers. And I'm like, look, man, we're going to win this thing. And then we didn't, right? And guys started getting hurt and kind of hit the fan. And look, at the end of the day, I even said publicly that, hey, I didn't come here for this. I didn't come here to lose. And the Philly fans didn't take a liking to that until they realized that, damn, this is my kind of guy. Like, he come here to win. And then we ain't winning. And so I think the fans got me in that aspect. But, I think some of them were kind of butthurt a little bit about it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. And we were expected to win, and I enjoyed that, and we didn't. We didn't even come close to winning what we were expected to win. And, at the end of the day, I didn't want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of a winning team. And, lo and behold, I go to Washington, and we didn't win there either. And kind of, hit the fan there.
Yeah, a lot of that. Hey, Jonathan, we've been sort of looking at the Blue Jays team this year and specific guys who've underperformed. And, there's been notable guys on the pitching staff that have, been paid well and just haven't been able to bring the game the Blue Jays bet they could bring in Jose Berríos and Yusei Kikuchi. What are you seeing when you look at those guys who just have not been able to sort of, find the plate and kind of become the threats that the Blue Jays clearly thought they would be on the mound?
Well, to me, it boils down to the scouting department. It boils down to the front office, man. If you're going to give these guys a bunch of money, you better know what the hell's going on with them first. I mean, look, at the end of the day, you're there for one thing. That's to win ball games. And regardless if you're in Toronto or Boston or New York or Baltimore, look, you're in the premier division in the Premier League, right? Like, you better come to play. And if you're not, like, you're going to be in big trouble. Like, this is the hardest division in baseball, bar none. And if Toronto doesn't scout well, they don't prepare well, they're going to get beat up. Same way like Boston this year. Their trade deadline was atrocious. Like what is Boston doing this year, too? So, like, look what they're doing. They're getting beat up. And now you got the team like the Orioles who are kind of sneaking into this situation, right? And so, man, it's a ruthless division, and it always has been. And so, you know, I think for Toronto, man, it's just you really, really have to do all the little things. Make the good moves. Make the good sign, long-term signees. Bring in, you know, call up the guys that are ready and are going to help help contribute. And it's just not happening with them this year really like they expected. But, I mean, hell, you look even back in the days of Anthopoulos, you know. What was his name?
Alex Anthopoulos, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, from the very beginning. It's been kind of a struggle. And so, you know, in this division, man, it's tough. It's tough. And, you know, in my opinion, you got one of the biggest stars in the game right there with Junior, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste him. Do not waste him. Do not pull an Anaheim Angels and have two of the best players in maybe history with Ohtani and Trout and not get to playoffs. I mean, they're wasting those two guys away, in my opinion.
Yeah, they are. We're chatting with Jonathan Papelbon, longtime MLB closer. You can find him now at Better Than Vegas. Another young stud who is wasting away would be Fernando Tatis Jr., and he's wasting away because he's taking PEDs and he got clipped, and now he's done for the rest of the year. And you have been vocal about how you would handle Tatis Jr. if he was at the plate and you were still on the mound. Can you take us through why I believe you said you would hit him every single time you faced him? It seems harsh. Can you explain your reasoning?
Yeah, actually I did. I said that on my Twitter. Yeah.
Okay.
So I got this new Twitter, you know, now @therealjpap58. I kinda just now got it. Man, I love it. I love it because actually what I did say was that not that I would hit him every time. I said I would drill him in the ribs or the head every time.
I see. That's even more extreme.
More specific.
Yeah, okay.
Sure.
Yeah. We want to be specific on this show. I like it.
Yeah. To be more specific, that's exactly what I said on my Twitter. And I still stand by it right now. And I won't waver from that at all. To me, you know, I busted my ass my whole career, man. I worked my ass off. I did it the right way. Never got busted for drugs or steroids or any of that. And to me, you know, when you have a guy that comes in your first, okay, he gets in a motorcycle accident last year, which, you know, could have voided his contract. But the Padres said, oh, we'll let this slide. That's their first mistake. They shouldn't have let that slide. Because before you signed to a $300 million deal. Then the very next year, the guy's on the injured, he's on the IL, and pulls this stunt of taking steroids. Well, to me, you know, you're cheating me. Right, you're cheating me on all the work that I put in. You're cheating me and all the stuff that I've given up to play this game and sacrificed to play this game. And it's just like kind of like in the olden days when they were playing poker, right? What if they caught him cheating, what would happen? Pow, see ya. You know what I mean?
Right.
So to me, it's almost the same way as that's my version of, you know, pow, I got you. Pow, I hit you in the ribs. Pow, I hit you in the head. Like, you want to do that again? Well, you're going to get another one. Well, you know, to me, then you have the aspect of, oh, man, I was taking this cream, and this cream had some anabolic steroids in it and blah, blah, blah. No, that's bullshit, man. Don't give me that, you know? And so, I'm sorry, I can't say that.
Radio. We got you. Keep it on the rails. We're good. No, all good.
Yeah. So to me, it's like this, right? So you're going to go on and now start trying to make excuses for your actions, right? Well, everybody knows that that's not true. Okay. First of all, you got a ringworm. You don't take anabolic steroids for a ringworm.
Right.
Then you got daddy and mama trying to come to the rescue to their son. And, oh, no, the dad says it was a hair product. Shut up. Like, shut the hell up, man. Like, okay, Andy Pettit. Here's an example. Andy Pettit, he gets busted, right? Y'all remember that, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
What does he do? He apologizes to the team in a team-only meeting and apologizes publicly. I did this. I'm sorry, and I'll do everything I can. It'll never happen again. What happened? Everybody apologized. We're all good. And Andy Pettit is still in the game and still is, you know, hell, he's still got commercials on TV. So that's the way you handle that. It's like, you know, it's like when my wife tells me to go out and clean the kitchen. And then I don't clean it, and I try to make up some excuse for it. And no, you're supposed to clean the kitchen, right? Like, don't make up excuses. Like, be a man about it. Don't have, you know, Tatis, don't have daddy coming in and try to help you, or mama coming in and try to help. Like, dude, if this happened to me, you wouldn't hear from my mom or dad. Like, you wouldn't hear no excuses. First of all, I wouldn't do it. Second of all, if I did, be a man about it. Be a man about it and just say, you know what, I effed up. And that's it. Then it's done. But now you're dragging this out. Now the team's got to answer a bunch of questions about it. It becomes a bigger deal than what it is. And you know, if I'm a teammate of his, I'm going to be just as pissed as Clevenger is, you know? And another thing that struck me was all of his teammates were like, no, he ain't been here all year. We don't need him. We're at. He hadn't been here.
Yeah.
So that'll tell you another thing. When your teammates start saying stuff like that, that's when the real truth comes out.
I appreciate the honesty from the baseball guys, hey, because coming from a hockey background, guys would play that so vanilla. If that situation happened, you would never want to say anything. But I love how they have no problem just throwing him under the bus. Jonathan, I wanted to get your opinion on the pitch count. And we see it now way more than ever where if a guy hits his pitch target, let's say it's 75, 80 pitches, regardless of the game, if he's, you know, he's got one hit, no hit, like we're seeing guys come out of the game. Where are you at with that, and do you like it?
Well, you know, I don't think there's really much control over it because, you know, the game changes. The game evolves and the game changes and there's really nothing you can do about it, right? So for me, I kind of accept it. You know, I know a lot of old school guys like Shillett, Pedro Martinez and them guys who throw 140 pitches. You know, 30 games a year, they throw 140 pitches. And so they're a little bit, they don't think like me on this issue, but the game changes and there's nothing you can do about it. And that is just the way the game's changing. And, to be honest with you, I've talked this on my podcast, you know, I got a podcast now with Better Than Vegas, Blackjack and Pal. And, you know, we can cuss on, we can talk more smack on it than we radio.
Right.
Yeah, so, you know, I believe that there's really not – we're going to get to the point where you may not see starters anymore. You may just see everybody – you know, you might have the guy that starts the game, but next week he might be closing the game. I think you're going to just see a all-hands-on-deck style pitching staff. That's my prediction.
So, Jonathan, we still have – for as long as we do, we still have closers – and we still have the walkout song from the bullpen. I saw a great clip. I think a lot of people have seen it, of the Edwin Diaz point of view clip where all the trumpets are bringing him in to close the game for the Mets. You know that New York had Mariano Rivera and Enter Sandman. Where do you rank those two against your song coming out of the Boston bullpen, shipping up to Boston?
Okay, well, first of all, I said this on my podcast. I mean, to me, when I came in Boston in Fenway Park, the fans went nuts. Beer was thrown in the stadium. And, hell, half the time I might be drinking beer with them after the game. But, you know, to me, Mariano was good and everything just because he was kind of almost like the godfather of posters. But especially in New Yankee Stadium, it was the fans were kind of like, hidey-ho-hum, here comes Mariano again. He's going to close the game because it's what he does, you know. But the fans weren't it. Like, to me, it's all about the fans. We play the game for the fans. And look, man, I got Mariano third. I got me number one just because when I came into the game, Fenway Park got crunk, and everybody was blitzed and drunk by then. And then I got Edwin Diaz number two just because look at what happens in the stadium. Everybody's getting ready. Everybody's pumped up, and it's an event. I got Mariano three and then Hoffman four after that.
Okay. I like it. Yeah, listen, I mean, there's a party that's got to be thinking Sox versus Yankees. Like, did you just immediately hate the Yankees when you showed up to your first camp as a Boston Red Sox? Was it, like, immediately known? You fly down to JetBlue in Fort Myers. They're like, you hate New York as of today. Or did that have to build up over time?
The moment I got drafted, I realized now is the time you start hating the Yankees.
Right.
Period. Like, the moment I got drafted, I started realizing that if I don't keep the Yankees out, I'm not going to be here very long. And I was fortunate enough to be very successful against the Yankees in old Yankee Stadium and in new Yankee Stadium and in Fenway, right? So, to me, with player development, I knew it right away. Mm-hmm. It was understood that for all those years the Yankees were and they were the top of the mountain, and then in 04 we came back and beat them, and it was like, okay, it's on now. Like, we ain't taking no more crap from the Yankees no more, and you're going to hate them. And I don't care if it takes you drilling somebody to lose the game. If that's what we got to do, we got to do. We're going to stand in here, and we're going to fight, period. Like, it was the Red Sox way.
We're chatting with Jonathan Papelbon. So you're working with the Better Than Vegas network. You guys are doing stuff with the Queen's Plate. Is that my understanding? We got the Queen's Plate cooking up here.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right. I like it.
My first horse race. I've never even been in a first horse race. We're coming up to Toronto, man, which I love Toronto. I always love to play. I give mad props to see a Toronto, man. I always love the Rogers Center, too. I love playing there. I do. Look, I love Toronto. And the guys at Better Than Vegas said, hey, you want to come to Toronto? I said, yeah, for what? And he said, the Queen's Plate. You didn't have to tell me for what it was. I was in, you know? And lo and behold, I've never been to a horse race event at all. And I come to find out it's the oldest running stable, right?
Yeah, that's right.
163rd year.
That's right.
Yeah, man, my wife's got her hat ready. I got my suit ready. I got a full camo suit. I'm ready to represent. And I can't wait. Honestly, it's going to be a blast. So if y'all are there, come out and see, let's have a beer together.
We will. We'll find you, man. It is a blast. You're right. You got to have the big hats and the suits, the whole nine. It's a party. So you enjoy your time up here. Good luck with the podcast, being on Twitter, the whole nine moving forward, Jonathan. We really appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you for this.
Yeah, man, I enjoy talking, guys, and like I said, man, y'all come holler at me at the Queen's Plate, man. We'll have a drink for sure, man. Have some fun.
You got it. We'll look forward to it. There he is, Jonathan Papelbon, former MLB closer, World Series champ. Now we're Better Than Vegas. He's going to be up at Woodbine for the Queen's Plate.
Yeah, man.
That is a character right there, man. Yeah. Jonathan Papelbon.